As we turn to the sermon this morning, I guess just part of the vision here at Gympie Baptist, I mean, we've got the vision statement out in the back. Hopefully you've been able to see that and read it and think about it. But part of that vision statement is that we want to be a compelling community. And what I mean by that is that we want to have a breadth and depth of relationship with each other. That when other people come and see the way that we love each other, the way we care for one another, the way we support one another, and genuinely have each other in our hearts, we want them, these other people, to see that there is something about this way that we relate to one another that they just don't see anywhere else, and there's just something good and right about it, something good that they want for themselves, and so that this community that we have draws them in. And when they ask, what is this thing about you that makes you genuinely love one another like this? We can say, it's because we're following Jesus. Jesus tells us to love one another. And not only that, he's the one who's made us like this. Can I tell you about him? Now, when Jesus tells us, to love one another, he doesn't just, say that as a statement that's detached from the rest of the Bible so that we can then go up and make up what it means for ourselves based on what we want it to mean. To understand what Jesus means when he tells us to love one another, we need to read the rest of what Jesus says. I mean, even the rest of what the Bible says, because the whole Bible, from beginning to end, it talks about what God's love for his people looks like and what it looks like for God's people to love one another in the way that God wants them to. And ultimately, love each other in a way that shines his light around into our world. Now, since I assume you all want to go home before 5 o'clock tonight, we're not going to do a survey of everything that the Bible says about that. We're just going to hone in on one key idea. Of all the places that we could go in the Bible to learn about what it means to love one another, the one I picked for this morning is in Galatians 6, verse 2, where it says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Now, that's just one verse. It's always a bad idea to take one verse out of its context and then talk about it as if it's a standalone statement. So I'll just quickly, we're in the book of Galatians. The Galatians were Christians in a number of churches that Paul had planted early in his ministry, probably on his first missionary journey the early teens of Acts, in what is now, and Galatia was in now what is central Turkey in the modern, in modern day maps. Paul wrote to them because after he left, some people had come in and told the Galatians that if you want to be saved, you need to do parts of the Jewish law. Galatian guys, if you want to follow Jesus, you need to get circumcised, even though they were Gentiles. People were telling them if they wanted to be saved, ultimately they needed to believe the gospel and do this other stuff as well. And probably the big idea of the book of Galatians is salvation is by trusting the good news of Jesus alone. There's nothing we can do or say that's going to twist God's arm to save us. It is by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself. So no one can boast. I mean, I'll pinch that bit from Ephesians, but it covers the idea. And I guess that raises the question, though. If salvation is by faith alone, does it mean it doesn't matter what we do? If we just have to believe in Jesus and salvation isn't about what we do, then do we just do what we want and expect to go to heaven because we believe in Jesus? We say we do. Well, no. I mean, there's another big idea of Galatians. Is that when we believe, the Spirit comes and lives in us. And the Spirit is a spirit of freedom, a spirit of freedom from sin so that we can live for God. When we believe, the Spirit frees us from the works of the flesh. Paul gives a great big long list of things like idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, all those things. They're all works of the flesh that the Spirit sets us free from. So we don't have to do those things anymore. And it frees us to bear fruit, to bear his fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And so the good works we do now, we don't do them in order to be saved, not that we ever could anyway. We do them because we are saved. It's a demonstration of God displaying to others that he has saved us. And we are his already. We're not doing it in order to be his. I guess the reformers back in the day phrased it something like this, that salvation is by grace through faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. If we have true saving faith, it comes with the fruit of it. Saving faith comes with a new heart, a new life. The old self is gone, the new self has come. And that's the context that this verse that we read before, that it comes up in. One of the ways that our freedom from sin demonstrates itself in its life, one of the ways that the Spirit bears his fruit of love and patience and kindness, is that we bear one another's burdens. And what does that mean? Does it mean if I see Jeff carrying a box of books back to the bookstore, that if I'm going to be a godly Christian, I'll grab one end of that box so that we can carry it together, and together we bear the burden? Well, I think it's more broad than that. I mean, if you look down at verse 5, you'll see that it says, you know, each person has to carry their own load. Now, technically, that word load, it means, you know, cargo, a load for transporting, like the kind, you know, like a shipping container that you put on a ship to move it. I mean, but in this context, I don't think he's talking literally about cargo. He's talking about the stuff that we carry around in life that weighs us down. I mean, you know the stuff I'm talking about, you know, disappointment, difficulties, disaster, defeats, disillusionment, despair, in broken relationships in the family, money troubles, feeling like you're on a hamster wheel, running really fast, wearing yourself out, but getting nowhere. I mean, all these things that weigh us down. Each of us have a different combination of them, but each of us has a load that weighs us down. It's the nature of living in this fallen world. I mean, if you're ever tempted to look at anyone else and think, you know, wow, they've got life so easy. Everything goes right for them. They never have to deal with any difficulties. If you're ever tempted to think that, then don't believe it. Everyone who walks this earth, we've all got stuff that we're carrying. And just as surely you know that you've got your own stuff which is weighing you down, you can be sure that as you look around this room, everybody else here has got their own stuff that they're carrying. Not the same load. We all have our own unique load to carry. But just as it weighs you down, you can bet that everyone else has got their own. And because we all do, that verse that we read before, Galatians 6, verse 2, it's actually really good news when you think about it. And why? Why is it good news that God tells us to carry each other's burdens? It's good news because it tells us that God doesn't want his people to carry all these heavy things around alone. I mean, one of the reasons he's put the church here in the world is so that we can carry each other's burdens, help each other carry these loads that we have, so that we don't have to do any of these things alone. But we have a spiritual family who walks this difficult path with us. And when they see us weighed down, they come right beside us and say, look, I'm here. You're not alone. Let's do this together. Let me help you, you know, bear up under this weight. I mean, God knows that we all have this load to carry, and he's given us the church so that, humanly speaking, we don't have to do this thing alone. I mean, isn't that good news? That we have a God who knows what it's like for us and provides for us in our struggles. Now, just imagine, I mean, if the church really lived up to that command. Imagine you've had a really bad week. There's difficulties at home, difficulties with family, some things are broken which aren't cheap to replace, big bills have come in, and you're just feeling a bit overwhelmed and lonely. You don't feel like coming to church because it's all weighing you down. But you do. And when you get to church, people listen to you, like really listen to you. They want to hear what you have to say. They really try to understand what's going on in your life and what's weighing you down. And when they speak, it's not just to share their own opinions with you without understanding. It makes you feel like they're right here, right there with you, that you're not alone. They're not afraid of coming under this weight that you feel to be there with you, but they make you feel like they're there. They offer some words of genuine hope which actually help you. And they words that speak just to your heart so that even though they might not fix your relationships, they might not pay your bills, the weight doesn't seem as heavy anymore because, you know, there's someone there. It's not you're not alone. And can you imagine a church like that? Can you imagine how compelling that would be for you? Do you imagine how compelling that would be for the people that you know who live in this community in our day and age? In our day and age where everybody wants to be an influencer, but nobody actually listens to anyone else. I mean, if you think of that, isn't that the kind of church that you want to be a part of? Well, I believe, you know, God's commanded us to do that, so it must be possible that we can become a church more and more like that. I believe it's possible that we can be a church where we truly bear each other's burdens in a way that makes all of our loads feel lighter. But it's not going to come from me banging the pulpit and yelling at you about it. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to come from me pleading with you just to try harder to be nice. If we're going to be a church that actually supports each other like this in a way that's compelling for everyone, you know, what's it going to take? Well, remember, we're in Galatians, so let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take real, genuine love that cares about others, that really cares about others. It's going to take joy that can find real, living hope despite circumstances. It's going to take peace beyond understanding to quiet the unsettled. It's going to take patience to bear with each other when we're not at our best. It's going to take goodness that treats them well because they're made in the image of God, not necessarily because they deserve it. It's going to take goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control for all of us. I mean, which is to say, to be that kind of church that we all want to be a part of, where we truly do bear each other's burdens in a way that actually makes our loads feel lighter, we need the Spirit to be active here and bearing his fruit in each of us. To see Gympie Baptist become more like that church, we need to be on our knees praying to the Lord for the Spirit. And the great news about that is that our Heavenly Father loves to give the Spirit to those who ask. This type of genuine community, it can't be manufactured by trying harder. It can only come about by the work of the Spirit who comes when we ask the Father. I mean, that's why, you know, we do plug our prayer meetings quite a lot here, because we know that if we want to become the church that we all want, or that we all know in our hearts that we need to be on our knees praying. Now, I mean, with that being said, you know, self-control is also a fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, with his help, there are disciplines that we can prayerfully cultivate in our lives as well. We seek to be obedient to his command to bear each other's burdens. I mean, we do this, you know, we don't cultivate these things to try and score heaven points with God, hoping to get enough points to be saved and get into heaven. We cultivate these disciplines because God has saved us already. We have a real and living hope of eternal, glorious inheritance in heaven. And this is how we work out that salvation while we wait, like we're commanded to. Because when God's grace comes on us and saves us, his grace instructs us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope. And that takes Spirit-empowered discipline and self-control. I mean, so to get a bit practical on that, I mean, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. I mean, it speaks about the kind of love which is a fruit of the Spirit. Because if we try to do anything in the church, especially seeking to bear one another's burdens, if we try to do anything in the church without love, I'm nothing. I achieve nothing. I gain nothing. So, I mean, if we're thinking in this space of bearing one another's burdens, I mean, if someone shares some life difficulty with you, you know, someone from church shares something with you, I mean, ask the Spirit to help you cultivate patience. You know, that is, listen to the person until they've said all that they need to say. Stay calm while you wait. I mean, cultivate that calmness rather than getting irritated and complain about them. I mean, have you ever been in that situation where you felt like you've got something meaningful to say that comes from a really deep place in your heart, but it feels like, you know, when you actually start sharing it with someone, they just don't feel like they've got any time to hear it? Start getting irritated, agitated, start looking at the clock. I mean, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel ready to share your burdens with them in the hope that they will share them with you? No. Look, I know I've been that person that's made people feel like I don't have time to listen. I'm sorry if that's been you. I mean, let's all pray that we can be more patient with one another. So patience, being able to wait without getting irritated. And so love is patient. Love is also kind. I mean, which builds on patience and is generous with time and resources. I mean, so when someone shares things that are weighing them down, you know, kindness gives mental space for consideration and concern for their needs. It asks lots of questions, seeking to really understand them. It's generous with what you have to do good things for them, to meet them where they're at. And it does that without expecting anything in return. And if you knew others were going to treat you with that kind of kindness when you shared with them, I mean, wouldn't that make your load feel lighter? Wouldn't it make you want to come to church each Sunday and invite others along? You know, keep working through these ones. So love doesn't envy. Love doesn't have, you know, intense negative feelings when others do well. I mean, imagine how crushing that would be. You mean, you're in a dark valley, you share it with someone, they walk with you through the dark valley, but when you finally feel like you're out of it and you're joyful about getting to the other side, they're like, oh yeah, good on you, great, whatever. In love rejoices with those who rejoice despite your own personal circumstances. It rejoices with the truth when good things happen. Love thinks beyond yourself about how your actions are going to affect others. And it seeks to respond in a way that builds up and encourages others where they're at, not reacting to others based on where you're at. And love isn't boastful or arrogant. It doesn't heap praise on itself or oneself. I mean, have you ever shared your difficulties with someone and they say something like, oh, that's too bad for you. Gee, I'd never get myself in that situation. Oh, I've got too much wisdom and understanding for that. But poor you, though. Probably not in those words, but that's what it comes across. Either that or you say, or after you say a sentence or two explaining, you know, the very basics of where you're at, they say, oh, look, I know exactly what you're going through. I know everything that you need to do right now. Just do this, this, that, and the other, and everything's going to be fine. I mean, so basically saying that they're, you know, building themselves up as the fount of all knowledge that knows everything based on very little. I mean, when people heap praise on themselves like that, does it make your load feel lighter? I mean, my guess is no. It might even make it feel a little bit heavier because you feel even more alone. I mean, it's a bit like Job's friends who thought they knew everything. They told Job what he needed to do, but they weren't speaking from understanding. They had everything wrong. And rather than helping Job, they just made his suffering worse. No doubt Job would have felt way better when they were just standing, when they were just there with him, saying nothing. I mean, so when someone shares their struggles with you, it's a time to practice cultivating the discipline of not jumping in to save the day, but patiently listen, be on the lookout for opportunities to be kind. I mean, love isn't arrogant either. Now, arrogance means you think that you're above someone else, then you absolutely refuse to lower yourself on to whatever level that you think that they're at. I mean, when you're thinking about bearing each other's burdens, I mean, arrogance is when you come across someone who's feeling weighed down and you think, wow, it looks really unpleasant down there. I'm going to do everything I can to save myself from going down there with them. It can look like being boastful, just like we talked about, when you praise yourself for being too clever to go down there. It can look like one-upping. Oh, you think that's bad? Let me tell you about something way worse that happened to me. I don't know if you've seen that Four Yorkshiremen, but, you know, oh, luxury. I mean, or either that, I mean, doing that, it makes the conversation about you rather than actually being there with the person, meeting them. I mean, arrogance can look like fobbing people off. Oh, really? You lost your job. So that's so bad for you. You poor thing. Sorry, I need to go. It can look like saying sympathetic sounding things that aren't actually sympathy, which is more about making you feel less guilty for not doing anything than it is about actually trying to help the other person and actually being there with them. I mean, the word sympathy, it means suffer together, like sim is together and patho to suffer. I mean, so sympathy is suffering together with someone. Sympathy and arrogance simply can't go together because you can't suffer together with someone if you actually refuse to be there with them. So, I mean, the opposite of arrogance is humility. Humility is willing to go down with people to meet them where they're at, not thinking that you're above that. And love is about prayerfully cultivating the discipline which says, no, I'm not too important to come and meet people in the place, you know, where they're at. Being willing to go there, even if it gets you out of your comfort zone. Trusting the Lord that it's right. I mean, either that or... So love is not boastful or arrogant. Love is not rude. I mean, when someone talks about the load they carry with you, you don't take it on yourself to tell them how foolish they are, how shameful they are, how shameful they should feel for carrying it around. It doesn't remind them of all the things that they've done wrong and how they deserve all this stuff that they're getting. It doesn't feel joy when bad things happen to them. That only makes them feel even more alienated. I mean, no doubt they feel all that stuff already. They don't need you to rub their nose in it. It doesn't help their load feel lighter. The only thing it's going to do is make it feel heavier. I mean, working through the last ones a little bit more quickly, but, you know, love is not self-seeking. I mean, I know there's a bit of overlap here with some of the other ones, but, you know, when someone shares about their burdens with you, love doesn't then flip the conversation to be all about you, about your experiences and your wisdom, your opinions, so that the person doesn't feel like they've actually shared anything with you, but they know a lot about, they haven't shared anything with you, but they know an awful lot about what you think. You know, love is other-seeking, and that's a discipline to prayerfully cultivate. Seeking to ask questions, be curious, see yourself as a learner about the other person and not a knower. Seeks to understand others before talking about yourself or thinking about the needs of others in a particular situation before your own. And as we think about bearing each other's burdens, love, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The Spirit's fruit of love is in us. We will be willing to bear the burdens that others bring us, willing to endure under them, and trusting and hoping that the Lord is working his purposes out. I mean, imagine how compelling our church would be if, for each of us and for everyone else, if we could truly bear each other's burdens with love like that. I reckon if we could be that kind of community, we'd be looking forward to meeting together, all week. We couldn't help ourselves telling everyone we knew about it and talking about it in a natural way and in a way that makes others want to come and check it out for themselves. Now, I admit, you know, bearing each other's burdens with that kind of love, it's a big ask. And right now, you might be feeling like I've just put a heavy load on you. Right now, you might be looking around the room thinking, you know, I've got enough of my own stuff weighing me down, and now you want me to help all these other people with their stuff too? I'm not sure if I've got enough strength for that. Well, that's okay. You don't. If we try to carry our loads and help other people with theirs in our own strength, we will burn ourselves out. I mean, in and of ourselves, we are not strong enough for that. It's why earlier I said that this command was given to the church and it was given as a practical outworking of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, we aren't strong enough to do this on our own. We can't manufacture it by just trying harder. When we look at that task that we have, it should make us fall on our knees and ask for the Spirit and plead with God, saying, I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me be obedient to you. And God loves to answer that prayer. I mean, but let's face it, as it said in Galatians 6, we all have our own load to carry. Sometimes the weight of everything is a bit too much. We get weary and burdened under it, and we're not sure where we can, you know, we're not sure we can go on. Sometimes it feels like getting yourself to church is just in the too hard basket, and if you went, you'd just burden other people there beyond what they can bear. And when you feel like that, you know, I hope these words of Jesus are great news for you, where he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yes, God gives us the church for us to help each other carry each other's burdens, but the church is made up of human people. We are not all powerful like God is. There is only so much we can carry, and sometimes we get it wrong. But most importantly, God gives himself to help us with our loads. His arms are strong enough to carry anything that we hand over to him, and he won't ever become weary or faint under any load that we give to him. And for those who trust him, he gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. I mean, when we come to him, he'll never send us away. And when you cast your burdens on him, he promises that in turn he will give you a peace that surpasses understanding to guard your heart and your mind in him. And I can say that he will be able to carry whatever load that you give to him, because he's already carried the biggest ones and taken them away. Sin, guilt, shame, death, in love. And by that, I mean, you know, with Spirit-empowered patience, kindness, humility, other-seeking, Jesus bore all those on the cross, and he took them all away and triumphed over them. And if he's strong enough to carry those ones away, he's strong enough to take anything that you give him now. So when you feel like your load is too heavy to carry and you're out of strength, I mean, Jesus is waiting for you, arms ready to take whatever's weighing you down and give you peace and rest in return. And if we think in the context of bearing each other's burdens, I mean, look, sometimes people carry some really heavy loads, loads which are too big for them to take anywhere, and loads which are heavier than we can carry ourselves. And in those cases, the best thing we can do is help that person to carry their load to Jesus, if they, especially when they can't do it themselves. I mean, it's okay to say, look, you know, this is beyond me, but look, you're a brother and sister in Christ. I love you. I want to be here for you. I don't want to leave you alone in this dark place. The best way I can help you now is to help you to bring this to Jesus. Can we pray about this together and bring it to him? And I know there's some times in my life where I know I should pray about something that's weighing me down, but just when I sit down to pray, I just don't know where to start. Don't know what to say. I mean, I know, you know, Romans 8 said the Spirit helps in those times, giving us, you know, things deeper than words. But when I feel like that, I know for me it would be such a great blessing to have a brother who's willing to sit down, listen, you know, be curious, seek to understand. I mean, not try to be Jesus for me and save me themselves, because we can't ever do that. There's only one Jesus. But pray with me and bring these things before Jesus, which are just too hard for me to do at the time. Help me carry my burdens to Jesus when I'm too weak to do it myself. And what a blessing that is when you have a church family who you can do that kind of stuff with. So, I mean, as we come to an end, I mean, here at Gympie Baptist, we want to be a church where God's Spirit is active, filling us, bearing his fruit in us. And in general terms, that will look like freedom from the works of the flesh, so that we are free for love, joy, peace, pain, patience, kindness, all the other ones. Or in more specific, practical terms, if we are a Spirit-filled church, one of the things that we will do is we'll help each other with the loads that we carry in a way that's full of love, and a love that makes all our loads feel lighter, a love that magnifies the Lord Jesus, who he is, what he's done, what he promises to do. It's a big ask, not one that we can complete in our own strength, but we believe, you know, this kind of community is the kind of community that lets God's light shine before others, that builds us up in our faith, draws others in to the Lord Jesus. And though it is a big ask, you know, those who trust in the Lord and seek his strength to be obedient to what he said, you know, the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not become faint. So as I'm encouraging you to bear each other's burdens in love, I'm not saying try harder, I'm saying pray harder. And with that in mind, let me leave you with this charge that Paul gives in Galatians 6, where he says, knowing that our strength doesn't come from ourselves, but it comes from the Lord, let us not get tired of doing good. For we will reap at the eternal life from the Spirit at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you sent him in love, that he stepped down from heaven in more humility than we could ever possibly hope or imagine, that he was patient with us, that he was kind to us. And in that love, he bore our burdens away. He bore our burden of sin, shame, guilt, took them as far away as the east is from the west. We thank you that even though he's in heaven now, he has not left us. He's not forsaken us. but he is here with us. And he is willing to bear all, help us to bear all the burdens that we carry today. But Father, we thank you that Jesus, even though Jesus left here in the body, he's given us the church. And here, as a church, we can help each other and carry each other's burdens. We pray that you would help, that you would empower us by your Spirit to be obedient to this command. And that as we seek to be obedient to it, that you would bear all the fruit of the Spirit within us, that we, as we seek to bear one another's burdens, that we would do it full of the love that comes from the Spirit. And as we do that, may it be a blessing for us, but may it be a compelling picture for our community as well, so that others would see the love that we have for one another and know that it's because we follow you, so that your name is lifted up and glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.